I decided to go with a little more acoustic theme. So I, you know, I don't want to waste
down to earth music.
Don't want to waste any electricity by using that.
I see. No electric guitars here.
I don't think so. This morning, talking about the environment, we had about recycling earlier, as well as how people feel about environment, recycling, and that sort of thing related in the workplace. Going on right now, the Eco-Olympics. Oberlin College does this yearly at the Eco-Olympics, where the campus has a competition to reduce energy and water consumption. It's already going on, and we've got the sustainability coordinator, Bridget Flynn, on the line this morning, and also intern with the Eco-Olympics, Abraham Rowe, is also a student. Thanks for joining us. Bridget, let's start with you a little bit about the Eco-Olympics. Where did this idea come from, to have sort of a competition to conserve and save?
Sure. So the idea came about a few years ago, actually I think in 2006, and it happened in conjunction with the dashboard monitoring system. So we have a monitoring system that uses meters in the dorms in real time to display energy usage, so for electricity and water. So a few dorms had that in 2006, and they wanted to do a competition in those dorms. So that's when it sort of started, and then all the dorms got the technology, I believe, in 2008, and that's when the larger competition sort of started. So it was called the Dorm Resource Reduction Competition back then, and we realized that was kind of a long name. Yeah. So now Eco-Olympics is in all the dorms. It's a three-week water and electricity conservation competition, and our competition was actually kind of the precursor to the national competition that hundreds of schools participate in now, and that competition is called Campus Conservation Nationals.
Bridget, are there any special challenges? Because I would imagine some of the dorms, as you say, they've been upgraded, of course, but some of the dorms are older. Any special challenges there for the students?
No. So that's the really exciting thing about the way we run our competition, is that really the students are competing against themselves and then against each other and then in a national competition. So the way that the Eco-Olympics is measured is against a baseline that we set 3 weeks prior to the competition, not including spring break, versus the 3 weeks after the competition. So it doesn't actually matter if the dorm is old or new or more or less efficient. It's really about the behavior changes, the things that the students are doing in the dorms that make all the difference.
Let's talk to Abraham. How difficult is it to get the students involved or explaining what needs to be done? Is there like reminders, post-it notes in the place? How do you get them involved in that in this competition?
Yeah, so we've been both postering around campus. We send out emails every week, and also usually the resident advisors in each dorm, who's a student who kind of oversees the safety for the dorm and does programming, works to get like students really excited about it. And also in my experience, I think a lot of students who are new to the school or first years are often really interested in the competition. At least that's the case where I live.
Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing to help reduce electricity, water consumption, the two main things you're talking about. What are some of the things that are put in place in these dorms or the students are following?
Yeah. Well, so some of the things that the students have control over that are really effective are both just, one example is washing laundry in cold water. I think one of the highest uses of electricity in the dorms is heating water for laundry or other things in the building. So there's a setting on our laundry machines to use cold water, which is equally effective for washing clothing if you're using detergent. And we also have, recommending people unplug their cell phone chargers and other electronics when they're not using them, taking shorter showers, turning lights off when they leave rooms, kind of the standard, you know, yeah.
That type of thing, yeah, but it's just one of those things. If you make it a habit, then you don't seem like you're doing something that's out of the ordinary. But sometimes that electronic stuff is really hard. There is a lot of drain in the power, even when these power things are plugged in and nothing's really charging on it, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there are other good ways if it is hard, but getting like a power strip that has a switch that flips it on or off can lighten those loads. And then you just press a button the same way that you do with other you know, like a light switch or something like that. And that can be almost as effective.
Now, Bridget, you mentioned the dashboard, and I went online and looked at some of the things. I guess is it real time, or how does the dashboard work? I saw a picture of some kind of glowing orb or something on a wall in one of the facilities. Tell me a little bit about how all of this is kind of tracked throughout the college.
Yeah, so the dashboard does have all these different sensors or meters, basically, that collect data in real time. So the data that you are seeing on the dashboard website, the oberlin.edu/dorm energy website, that is data in real time. So some of the meters collect every few seconds. Others of them are like every 5 seconds. A couple are every couple minutes. It sort of depends on the building and the sensors, from my understanding, but yeah, it really is in real time. The orbs that you saw, those are connected to the dashboard, and those are supposed to be a way that people can see and reflect on their energy use just by taking a glance at the orb. So the way that the orb runs is it uses a baseline of the week prior at that very same time, for both electricity and water to see how the building is doing compared to that week prior. So you just take a quick glance and you see, oh, we're at red. So that means we're using way more electricity than we normally do. Why is that? Oh, there might be a concert, or we have all of our lights on. Could we turn them off and do a little bit better? So it's nice for students, and really anyone utilizing the buildings, to just walk in, see the orb in the main lobby area, and reflect on their energy usage, right away. And on the dashboard, it's one really cool aspect, I think. Not only is it awesome to get that real-time feedback that the dashboards provide, but also we have these little, there's a little Wally the Walleye, and there's a little albino squirrel, and they, respectively for water and electricity, interact with and correspond to the electricity and the water that the buildings are using. So if you're doing really well, then they'll be really happy. If you're doing very poorly, then they'll be very sad. And it helps people to have an emotional connection, both for those animals, but then to think about the larger ecosystems in which we're using electricity and water, and thinking about, it doesn't just cost a little bit more when we're using more electricity and more water, but there's actual effects in the world. And those have been proven to be pretty effective emotional indicators of what people are doing.
I see from last year, you have a report here. Last year's Eco Olympics, residence halls and co-ops collectively saved 10,070 kilowatt hours of electricity, the average amount of electricity an American home uses an entire year. And you save quite a bit of water, which is the equivalent of 1,500 10-minute showers. So to see results like that, obviously, this year you probably have a little bit bigger goal than what happened last year.
The national competition sets goals for all of the schools combined, and we generally just want to see as much reduction as possible. But we really let the students take it into their own hands to see how far they'll go. I have one student who's trying not to shower the entire time. People can, there are things that people do every day and that we want to encourage every day, but there are things that people really go above and beyond during the competition to try not to do their laundry at all during the competition, or try to shower only a couple times or not at all during the competition, or take a bucket shower instead of a regular shower, things like that. So people really do go, above and beyond during the competition.
Different creative ways of saving at some particular point.
Obviously. Certainly. Mm-hmm.
But obviously the key to this is sustainability is a part of the word. How long can they sustain something like that? So they kind of get back into a little bit of a normal routine. Talk about some of the activities. I know besides this sort of conservation aspect of it, there are programs that you have going on this month too.
So actually in response to what you just said too, we have found that during the competition, people, do all these behaviors, and even if they go back and don't maintain some of the behaviors that they've done, they've still usually are at a lower level of consumption after the competition. So they are picking up some habits that will stick with them. And another way that we hope that people will pick up habits and think about sustainability is through all these events. So we have, I think, about 36 events happening in the 3 weeks. We're about halfway right now, but which means we still have a couple dozen events left. And community members and other people are welcome to come to those events, so please check out our calendar. Anyone who's listening is more than welcome to attend. We have things from concerts to film screenings to guest lectures to service days to we had some giveaways. We have a hair recycling event. We have all kinds of interesting and creative things going on.
The hair recycling one is the one that caught my attention, because I think in conservation efforts, that's something that a lot of people don't normally think about.
Certainly. I had never even really thought of it before either, but we had a student who knew of an organization that collects hair that can, you know, reuse it in different ways. So not only donating it when it's long enough, but, you know, smaller bits of hair that that they can use. And yeah, so it's really cool. It's interesting, creative, weird, and awesome.
Well, this is spread a little bit beyond the college as well, because I understand this year you kind of got Oberlin City Schools involved with this.
Correct, yeah. So this time, for the first time, all the Oberlin City Schools will be participating, the K-12 schools. They each got dashboards. Prospect had already had one, but this year, for the first time, all the other schools have dashboards now, too, so they're all engaged in a competition as well. And we're really excited to have them involved. We also had them create some a little PSA for the college radio station. We had them create some posters that will are hanging up on campus so that the college students see that, you know, the kids are really excited to see what we're doing, and that the kids are participating too, and they're doing a great job. They're really engaged. They're really excited about the dashboards in the schools too.
We've been speaking today with Bridget Flynn, the sustainability coordinator at Oberlin College, also Abraham Rowe, who's the intern with the Eco Olympics. He's also a student there and practicing what they're preaching there at the college. I guess, Abraham, in a way, this is kind of a positive use of peer pressure, I suppose, in the dorms and places like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there, as far as what I've witnessed, a lot of people will, you know, remind people pretty gently, like that the competition is going on and or politely, you know, ask the whole community if they can, you know, do something a certain way so that that might affect everyone but will reduce use. And that's been really cool. I think it, you know, in certain cases, peer pressure like this do have a positive impact.
Right, and people can check out, where is a good place for them to go, Bridget, for looking? Because I have a list here that I printed out of things that you can do. Obviously, this doesn't only apply to a school dormitory. It can happen in your home as well. Where is a good place to get a list or find out more about how things are going with the Eco Olympics at Oberlin College?
Sure. So if you go to oberlin.edu/EcoOlympics, so Eco, E-C-O-L-Y-M-P-I-C-S, Eco Olympics. We have a list of the schedule of events. We have what the competition is and a little bit more about the dashboard monitoring system, a link to the dashboard monitoring system online, so anyone can check it out there. And then we also have some different tips to conserve that really anyone could pick up and use.
You got a cool poster you made this year, too. I can see that with all the different buildings featured on there. And then I see the walleye and the squirrel down in the corner, too.
So. Yeah, we had a student design and silk screen those posters, and they're really beautiful. That's one really cool aspect of the competition too, is that ever since the very beginning, we've had a different student silk screen posters, and they're always really, really lovely.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you changed the title. What was the original title of this event, you said?
The Dorm Resource Reduction Competition.
That's right, yeah. Eco Olympics. It's all about marketing, you know, if you want to get people to pay attention.
Yeah, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Not as easy. Bridget Flynn, Abraham Rowe, thank you both for sharing the time with us this morning. Appreciate what you're doing on at Oberlin College. Thanks very much.